everybody. Welcome to episode 11 of the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. The season's underway, and I wanted to kind of have some share some quick thoughts on some of the most notable early games of the season thus far. So here we go. So with regards to Kansas, I was really interested to see Dedrick Lawson play. And honestly, I kind of went in with a blank slate. I hadn't seen him play when he was at Memphis, and I had heard a little bit about him, and I knew that the expectations were quite high. And, I mean, he ended up putting up 20 points, 10 rebounds. So, like, a good stat line. I was a little underwhelmed. And I don't know if this is necessarily against what people thought about him going in, but, you know, he's not an amazing athlete. I feel like he's probably a better passer. He had 6 assists, and he's apparently... I probably underrated his ability as a passer. I didn't come out of the game really, like, seeing a whole lot of that from him, but he actually did show some flashes in that regard, and I think that's a skill set that I'll see more as the season goes on. I don't know if he's going to be a huge scorer for them. I think he's a very solid starter for this team. I don't know if he's just going to be the, you know, a clear star of the team that could, you know, carry this team to a championship, for example. I feel like he will be more of one of the top 3 leading scorers, for sure, I'd say. But I don't know, I came out a little underwhelmed, so we'll monitor him going forward. Obviously, Quentin Grimes was red hot from 3, and that was really impressive. We'll see. I mean, he is supposed to be a good shooter. We'll see how much that continues. Devin Dotson, the other freshman, I was impressed with as well. I feel like he is going to be very good, very capable of handling the point guard position. This is something that Kansas really needed, losing Devontae Graham. And there's really no one else on the team. I mean, Charlie Moore is okay, but it felt like Dotson is very capable of kind of being that ball handler and playmaker. How good he is, obviously, we'll see. But I thought that was a bright spot for Kansas. And lastly, like, Udoka Azubuike, like, I expected him to be very dominant again this season, and I think he's going to be. You know, he's not going to make all of his free throws, and foul trouble is going to be an issue, but he's a real asset for Kansas. Again, he's not always going to stay on the floor, though, for a variety of reasons. But so that's where Kansas is going to have to fight out a little bit, and we'll see. So with regards to Michigan State, you know, I actually was impressed by how they came back. Cassius Winston, Joshua Langford, Nick Ward, McQuaid, you know, that kind of veteran core, they're really solid. And I think they are definitely a top 20 team, and they'll be in the top 20 all season. And of course, the, you know, Kenny Goins, the senior, he like came out and was looking great. Like, he was stretching the floor, and he just was a real asset out there for Michigan State, and he was really impressive. And I even liked Aaron Henry as well. I think he is going to be really good off the ball. I don't think he's much of a shooter yet, but he looked really good off the ball, the freshman from Michigan State. So anyway, I think I'm trying to figure out still if this team has Final Four upside. I don't know if they necessarily have, you know, I don't know if I necessarily trust, like, Cassius Winston and some of their playmakers at the guard position to do that, but the team is worth monitoring, and I was actually came away fairly impressed. So next up, Duke and Kentucky. Obviously, everyone was thrilled about and obsessed with the performance of the Duke freshmen, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson. They were amazing, and, I mean, Duke, you know, they looked like the best team, like likely the best team in the country. I feel like people are overreacting just a little bit, because I feel like, and this happens in some games, when teams really get out and run and the pace is fast, you know, there were a lot of possessions in this game, 82 possessions, which contributed to the game being so high scoring. But sometimes games can get really out of hand, because the faster teams play, you know, it's going to push the pace. Again, the team's going to obviously score more points. And if you combine like a fast-paced game with a team like Kentucky that was missing a lot of shots, 4 of 17 from 3, you know, a lot of long rebounds, that's just going to make it even worse. And Duke just got out in transition and was killing it. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they can how they perform in the half court. They still have like plenty of talent, and they'll be fine. But I think people are probably overreacting this game a little bit. Although the freshmen actually looked really impressive, and my take is kind of that, I mean, Zion Williamson, people, you know, see the NBA upside, and it's incredible. And obviously, it's there for RJ Barrett as well, but I actually think he's, like, the best college player on this team. he's going to be their lead ball handler, their best scorer, and Zion's like amazing. But I think that he was, you know, he was really on fire, and he was hitting some kind of tough shots that I don't know if he'll like hit at quite a higher percentage. But yeah, so I think RJ Barrett's kind of the guy on this team, even though he's not going to get quite as much hype. For Kentucky, it's hard for me to say. I really like Kentucky. They were kind of a preseason Final Four team for me. I still don't know what to make from a freshman. You know, Kelvin Johnson looked good. And, I mean, Reed Travis, I saw him play a bit at Stanford, but, and he actually, like, again, he played fine, 22 points. I feel like P.J. Washington, you know, who's a little underwhelming. E.J. Montgomery looked good. I don't know. It's just this team, they have a lot of, you know, good role players. I feel like it's just going to be hard to see. It'll be interesting to see if some of these guys can actually emerge and kind of, you know, take more control in terms of, like, kind of grabbing this team by the horns, you know, and really taking control and emerging as kind of their go-to players. Because they have a lot of guys that are okay, and it's really early. They're young, and I actually, like, really trust John Calipari to, you know, make this team pretty good. And definitely, you know, very competitive in the SEC. So it's too early to tell for that. You know, both these teams, you know, Duke, I didn't watch it, but they played a second game against Army, which they won. It was close for a while. Impressive, obviously, but just shows that, like, they're not going to, you know, dominate every team in the same fashion they dominated Kentucky. And Kentucky actually had a second game against Southern Illinois that was pretty close along the way as well, that they ended up pulling away from. So it'll be interesting. It's possible, you know, I think Kentucky can get there, but I don't think they're that good right now. I think the Duke-Kentucky game was more about, I mean, it was a little bit Duke being really, really good, but I think Kentucky also wasn't quite as good as maybe people expected they would be coming into the season. It doesn't mean they can't get there, but I don't think they're at that level right now. Next up is Nevada BYU. BYU is a team that I felt was underrated coming into the season, and, you know, they kept it close against Nevada for a while, but Nevada ended up pulling away, winning by 16. BYU is out without guard Nick Emery, who there apparently seems to be some controversy with in terms of benefits and things. I think he'll be back shortly. I think he was just a little banged up. Actually, I guess I'm not 100% sure why I missed the game. Anyway, I like BYU. Ueli Childs is probably their best player. I like TJ Hawes in the backcourt. And they also had, you know, they had some other guys that I was impressed. Like, Jashire Hardnett was the first time I saw him play, a junior guard. And I liked what I saw from him. I think they're worth monitoring. I think they're better than they've been the last few seasons. They've always been kind of a feisty team in the WAC that Gonzaga's had to kind of, has had some tough games against. I think that they have a decent shot of making the tournament this season. Nevada, obviously, very highly regarded coming into the season. And, you know, the Martin twins, they got in some foul trouble in the first half. Jordan Caroline was really impressive, getting to the line a lot, along with Caleb Martin. I was more interested to see some of their complimentary guys, because I was hearing a lot about, like, some great depth Nevada has had coming into this season with, you know, some freshmen and some transfers. And, you know, Trey Porter is kind of the big man presence down low, a senior. And he looked okay. He definitely gives them a presence down low, you know, some size, which they didn't really have last year. And everyone else was just okay. Jordan Brown, I'm not sure why he only saw 5 minutes. He was kind of the freshman that I was most interested in watching. They got some guys that hit some shots. Jazz Johnson, a 5'10 guard, was 3 for 7 from three. I came away not being as impressed by their depth as I expected to be, but again, of course, it's one game. But as a team, I'm kind of maybe not as quite as high on. You know, I'm really always careful. They're a really, really talented team. It's hard for me to, you know, I try to avoid giving the team too much hype just based on what they did purely in the tournament last season, because they obviously could have lost in the first round. I still think they're really good. The Martin brothers and Jordan Caroline are really, really good. I'm probably a little lower on them than the ranking suggests, but we'll keep monitoring them, obviously. Next up, Auburn-Washington. This was a game that I think Auburn was home, and I think Auburn was favored by around 10, and a lot of people were kind of surprised by that, because Washington came in as like a ranked team and is expected to be good this season. And Auburn was very impressive. I liked Auburn's team last year because they play with a lot of energy, and they have a lot of athletes, and they were really good. They crushed Washington on the offensive glass. offense got an offensive rebound in 47.5% of their missed shots, and they just dominated that way. And they also shot 38% from three as well. That's like an amazing combination. I mean, I like Jared Harper and Bryce Brown. You know, I think they're going to be a little hot and cold as their lead guards, but they're very capable of putting up points. How consistent they are is going to kind of determine how far Auburn can go. But Auburn just has so many guys that just are capable of putting up buckets that are like versatile scorers, like Chuma Okeke, Samir Dowdy, who is a new player for them this season. Macklemore down low, they're getting him back from injury. Malik Dunbar. Austin Wiley was a guy that, along with him and Daniel Purifoy, were kind of two guys that had to sit out last season. And Purifoy, I think, will be back soon. I think, and I'm kind of more intrigued by him because Wiley, he's 6'11", very, you know, kind of less, he's kind of a slower plotting presence and not like, I think he's very good, but he's kind of more of a traditional post player. And I like Macklemore a lot more than him. Basically, I'm not quite as excited about him as I thought I might be, because I felt like there was a fair amount of hype about him, like, having to sit out last year. I mean, he was okay, put up a few points, but I definitely don't think their best lineups are going to have him on the floor. And Horace Spencer as well, again, another versatile guy. They have a lot of, like, guys between, like, 6'6 and 6'8 that can shoot a little bit and, like I said, attack the glass. Washington, you know, I hadn't seen a lot of them last season, so I was interested to see them. They're still talented. Like Noah Dickerson down low. I really like Jalen Noel. He's kind of the NBA prospect, one of the NBA prospects on this team. He looks pretty good as a guard. Matisse Thybulle. David Crisp, I like, he had some flashes. I think the team's interesting. And I like, you know, they have that zone defense that works really well for Syracuse, and I'll be interested to see if they can get to that level again. One interesting thing, you know, Washington apparently last year was one of the worst teams in the country on the defensive glass, which people can tend to say can be a weakness of the zone, that they can give up offensive rebounding, but it was way worse than it should have been. It doesn't have to be that bad. So that could potentially explain why Auburn was so successful on the offensive glass, but I also think that just could be a strength of Auburn's this season. So we'll see. Obviously impressive from Auburn, and but like I said, I kind of want to see them be a little, prove to be able to continue to knock down shots and not rely on offensive rebounding too much. Next, Florida, Florida State. Florida State looked really impressive. Another team with a lot of energy, especially on the defensive end, forcing a lot of turnovers from Florida and just going out and running and, again, like, also attacking the glass. They're very deep. Again, this is a team that, you know, it's hard to know how much to rely on the NCAA tournament and projecting for the following season. They bring a lot of guys from an Elite Eight team. You know, Terrence Mann, PJ Savoy, Trent Forrest, Chris Kumaje. They're deep again. They're fairly deep again. They didn't play as many guys quite as heavy minutes as I feel like they have in the past. MJ Walker was a top, I think, 50 recruit last season, and he was okay last season, but he looked really confident, which is good for them. Scored 10 points, shot the ball well. So I think he could definitely take a leap for this team. I feel like they're going to be tough all season. They're going to be top 25 team all season. You know, like Florida State, so they can go through stretches on offense when they're not able to just kind of get out and run, when they can struggle in the half court. But we'll see. Florida, I was disappointed in them. You know, Andrew Nembhard, the freshman point guard, he was actually fine. Kevon Allen put up 0 points. Jalen Hudson did okay. They can be a little streaky on offense. I like that they have talent on the offensive end. I like DeAndre Ballard. I like Keith Stone. I guess we'll see how much they miss Chris Chioza. I've heard some people say that maybe this team lacks a little toughness. It's hard for me to say how good of a defensive team they're going to be this season. They're a team that has a lot of offensive talent when you look at the individual pieces, but we'll see. I like this team, though. I was disappointed, though. I feel like Florida State, this wasn't a fluke. I think they are better than Florida and will be that way all season, at least in an individual matchup. I don't think this is a case where, you know, this was Florida would win half the games if they played 10 times. It was a dominant performance. We'll monitor it, but I was impressed with Florida State. Next, Buffalo, West Virginia. West Virginia, you know, really impressive win for Buffalo, winning in overtime. West Virginia was actually up, like, you know, from with between 10 to 15 points a lot of the game. It looked like they were going to definitely pull it out. Obviously, Buffalo kind of came back and won. I don't think that was a fluke thing either. I was kind of down on West Virginia a little bit coming into the season. I felt like this team is a team that sometimes would struggle to operate, run offense and operate in the half court, even with, you know, Javon Carter and Dexter Miles as their guards last season, and I felt like it'd be hard for them to replace them. James Bolden, Beetle Bolden, actually impressed me with how well he played, and they still got guys. They got, you know, Lamonte West, Sagaba Kanate are really impressive, and this team is not going to be an easy out for sure, and they're going to, like, they're definitely going to make the NCAA tournament. And they're going to be, you know, especially with their pressing defense, they're going to beat some good teams. I feel like there's a real ceiling for this team because I feel like they don't have the guard play that they did last few years. And some of their, you know, Issa Ahmad is inconsistent. Kanate's always going to be there, but he can only take you so far. But on the other hand, Buffalo, I was really impressed with them. And they're a team that actually, in KenPom right now, is 53. So, like, they're kind of the by far the highest team that you wouldn't like, that is more of a mid-major team in KenPom. That's like really impressive to be that high already. And even they lost like a guy or two from their team last year that beat it upset Arizona. They have a lot of talent back. CJ Massenburg, obviously he got red hot from three, dropped 43 points, but I was also really impressed with Devontae Jordan, Jeremy Harris, Javon Graves. They have athletes, and Nick Perkins down low is really good. I think they're for real. They have a lot of talent. They are major conference caliber team in terms of the talent they have. They don't need to kind of game plan or fluke their way into beating these teams. They can just go out there and play. Sometimes, you know, yeah, I mean, they're going to go through their ups and downs a little bit, but I was really, really impressed. And they're for real. They could definitely. I was kind of trying to think of this game. The Buffalo West Virginia is kind of like a potential, kind of felt like a 12-5 matchup. You know, Buffalo could earn a 12 seed, West Virginia 5. I could see that, and it was the type of game that, you know, could be very competitive, and Buffalo could definitely pull out. So yeah, Buffalo's definitely worth monitoring the rest of the season, and I was very impressed. Next up, UNC Wofford. It was a good win for North Carolina. I like this team. I like a lot of their returning pieces with Luke May, Cameron Johnson, Kenny Williams. Garrison Brooks was really aggressive and looked confident out there, and I was impressed. Even Seventh Woods looked, you know, he's obviously underwhelmed a little bit in terms of what he was as a prospect, but he looked more confident, and I think that he can provide some ball handling responsibilities this year, can take care of some of those. Because one of the things that I've been most, you know, worried about North Carolina is how they're going to replace the ball handling duties from the Joel Berry and Theo Pinson filled last year. Along with Seventh Woods, you know, Kobe White got a lot of point guard duties, and he's a little out of control. He's obviously talented. I'm worried he's going to turn the ball over too much, and I'm worried that that ultimately is going to hold Carolina back, their ability to kind of have a true ball handler and playmaker. Nazir Little obviously can do a little bit of that too. I haven't seen a lot of him yet, and I didn't see a lot of him in this game, and I know he showed some flashes in the second game North Carolina played. So it'll be key to see, for him to, he doesn't have to be a like great distributor, but just to kind of do some ball handling and make some plays for this team. That'll be key for them because they have a lot of forwards like Cameron Johnson, Kenny Williams. You know, that's not their specialty. Luke May can do a little bit, but I think that'll be key for this team. Kenny Williams has been really cold to start, but he'll kind of get back on track. Luke May's been really good again, and yeah, I mean, this team has a lot of talent. Again, like I said, they're going to have to manufacture some point guard play out of this roster, but I think they're capable of doing it. Okay, up next. Two games left. We got Wichita State and Providence. You know, just seeing the names on the front of the jerseys. You know, these teams have been in the NCAA tournament the last few seasons, and they still got some talent. They got some returning players. I came away from this game, you know, Wichita State ended up with a victory. Neither of these teams are ranked too well in KenPom, and a combination of that and just kind of what I saw from these teams. So Providence, he has them right now at 56, Wichita State at 78. I feel like the best bet is that neither of these teams are actually probably going to end up making the NCAA tournament. They could be on the bubble. But they could potentially, well, they could squeak in. But anyway, like, for Providence, I was impressed with Alpha Diallo. He's going to be one of their better players this season. They got guys. A.J. Reeves, freshman, was actually very, very impressive. Dropped 19 points in this game. And he, you know, is going to be a major contributor for this team this season, and Providence fans should be very excited. They have a lot of returning players. You know, Khalif Young, Isaiah Jackson. And it makes me think that they, even though they lost this game, I feel like they're probably the better team going forward compared to Wichita State, and probably have the better chance of making the tournament. But we'll see. And of course, Wichita State, you know, who knows? They could always win their conference tournament and make it. I feel like they're definitely not going to make it as an at-large team. So, Wichita State, I was actually really happy to see Marcus McDuffie. Initially, I was confused because I didn't realize that he had changed his number from 32 to 1. But he looked so much more confident than he did last year. Last year, he kind of was injured a little bit, and so he had to come back in the middle of the season. He never really looked like himself. He dropped 32 points, and he was shooting the ball well, and it was great to see from him. And I think he actually, if he plays well, he could play his way into, you know, like a second-round draft pick and have a decent shot at, you know, summer league and trying to make an NBA roster potentially. Who knows? But I think I kind of had forgotten about him, and I think he's got a real shot to make some noise in that regard. They had some new guys. I was impressed with Morris Udazy. I'm not sure if that's quite how you pronounce his name. He's a 6'8 freshman, and a little bit kind of replaces that, fills that Shaq Morris role, that kind of slightly undersized but very strong presence down low. I was impressed with him. And then Jamie Ekanike, he is 6'11 junior, and he's the same number as Daryl Willis last year, and I felt like he's a kind of felt a little similar in terms of his style of play, in terms of being a little more versatile than the bruising kind of presence of Udazy. But so there's some things that Greg Marshall's working with. And then Samaje Haynes-Jones, senior, along with McDuffie, looked confident at the point guard position, and he's going to be one of their better players this year as well. And it was nice to see him kind of take a step up with an increased responsibilities. The last game I'm going to discuss is Ohio State-Cincinnati. This was an impressive win for Ohio State to win at Cincinnati. I didn't really know what to expect of these teams coming into the season. They both lost a lot of guys. Ohio State has actually been impressive so far this season, and they've jumped up to 32nd in KenPom, which is higher than I would expect in this game. You know, it was a really kind of sloppy game. You know, Cincinnati plays tough D. Neither of the teams were shooting that well. You know, it's hard to know. Like, you got the Wesson brothers from Ohio State. They're both going to be contributors. Keyshawn Woods transferred from Wake Forest, senior, that did not play well, but I think he could be a contributor for them. It's going to be good. CJ Jackson's a guard. It's going to take a lot of shots. I don't love the roster, but they played well in this game, and Cincinnati continued, you know, team struggles on offense historically, and they did a little bit today. Jaron Cumberland ended up dropping 22 points. I feel like he's going to be high-volume shooter, inefficient scorer. The team needs him to take shots because they need offense. I don't know how good he's going to be still, though. He's talented, however. Justin Jennifer, Cambroom had a tough game. They're going to need him to step up. They still, like, they always have some tough guys down low. Trey Scott, Nazir Brooks. Team is going to be competitive in the American. In terms of NCAA tournament, I feel like since Ohio State could squeak in, they've been impressive so far. I still don't love their team, but Chris Holtman's got the team, is a good coach, and I think he's going to have the team playing well and probably could figure out a way to squeak them in. Obviously, it's way too early to tell. I don't love either team, but it was an interesting game to watch nevertheless. Okay, so that's it, and we're going to keep moving forward. I'm going to do some game recaps and some different stuff and some of my old kind of tournament analysis. But anyway, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket. That's the number one, OnePerfectBracket. And I hope you enjoy the podcast, and take care.